The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, just listening to those numbers, it just sounds like a crazy movie that we're in. Such big numbers.
It's very hard to relate to those numbers, but unfortunately it's every day now that we are hearing of our family and friends, people close to us who are testing positive. Some of our listeners messaging us this morning saying that they tested positive yesterday. It's pretty much everywhere. Tell us about Israel. It's a big number there too, despite the vaccines.
It is a big number, and the number of new infected cases has now risen above 10,000 a day, and that certainly is now rivaling the massive second wave that we experienced. A few interesting statistics about what's going on and what people are experiencing. The first interesting piece that I saw was that something like 17% of those people who are now in serious condition in hospital suffering from the effects of COVID-19 are actually people who've been vaccinated already, who have received the first vaccine. So it just emphasizes that even though more than 1.5, almost 2 million people in Israel now have received their first dose of the vaccine, we are not immune. So we still need to continue to behave as if though we did not receive the vaccine until such time as the second dose has been administered and until such time as that second dose has had its time to take its effect, because we are being advised that the immunization system only really takes effect between 1 to 2 weeks after the second vaccine has been administered. And this week is really the first batch of people who will be receiving their second vaccinations. So until now, even though close on 2 million people have in fact received the vaccination, or maybe even above 2 million, I haven't seen the latest number, but it's certainly around the 2 million mark. None of those people are yet immune. And so everybody still has to continue to be extremely cautious and careful. And the numbers are just going absolutely sky high every day. We just see so many new cases being reported, and unfortunately people dying, 30 to 40 people a day are still dying in Israel of COVID-19, and it's hard to know exactly when the vaccine is really going to kick in, we're going to really feel the effects of the vaccination program. My expectation is that it's at least a month to 6 weeks away until everybody can go through that process of getting the second dose, allowing the time to elapse that week or two after the second dose in order to get the immunization system kicked in. So I think we're still seeing another at least 4 to 6 weeks of rising numbers unless we can really get control over it. An interesting also statistic that I saw is that a large number of the new diagnoses coming from abroad are actually people who have traveled to the UAE on holiday. Holidaymakers coming back from the UAE, a very, very high proportion of the people who've been infected or test positive after coming back from abroad are people coming back from the UAE. So I'm not sure what that means about how careful people are being in the UAE and what the impact is of the infection rate there. But certainly we're feeling it here. On a more positive side, Israel has an air purification system, a startup company that produces air purification systems, that they've just finished outfitting 400 tourist buses in the UK and in Ireland. And this is a data-driven air purification system, which apparently uses three methods, which can also, amongst other things, kill coronavirus. And so there is some hope that some of these buses may well go back into service, not only in the UK and Ireland, where this company has been very active, but also other buses and other not only forms of transport, but indeed other public areas. For example, originally this system was tested at Sheba Medical Center, where it's still being used today, and it's been found to be 99.9% effective in disinfecting indoor air from bacteria, viruses, fungi, and molds. So apparently this is an air purification system which could potentially make a difference to public transportation and to other public areas. We have heard, I have heard at least in the past, about the fact that one is less prone to potentially catching coronavirus on an aeroplane because the air purification systems that are generally used by aircraft have a way of dealing with the virus. I'm not sure how accurate that is and whether it's been scientifically proven, but here at least we do have an Israeli startup that makes very, very significant claims about their ability to control coronavirus being transmitted in the air. And I know that that's been a special interest of yours in the last few days, Howard.
Absolutely. So, yeah, indeed, it's very serious. And when you look at 10,000 new cases a day with a population of Israel's size, if we have to extrapolate that for South Africa, it is almost off the charts, in terms of if we had to work our numbers. So, not an easy situation, but at least, there is a vaccine in play there. Netanyahu's support and financier Sheldon Adelson has died. He was obviously a big supporter of Netanyahu. Will this affect his campaign?
Well, I'm not sure about how the financing of the next election campaign is being sorted out with Netanyahu and the Likud in particular. We do know that Sheldon Adelson and his wife Miriam, I think she needs to be mentioned here, a former Israeli living in the United States, have been very, very strong supporters of Israel. We understand that Sheldon Adelson's funeral will indeed take place in Israel and that he will be buried here sometime over the next day or two. And they have certainly been strong supporters of Israel from their position in the United States, been quite influential in the Trump administration in the way that the Trump administration has viewed Israel and the issues that Israel has had to face, and certainly been very influential within Israel, not only supporting Netanyahu and the Likud, but also buying up a newspaper called Yisrael Hayom, which has been very much supportive of Netanyahu and the work that he's been doing. So whether financially the Netanyahu campaign might suffer as a result of Sheldon Adelson's death is unclear. I suspect that he probably has had already things sorted out and that there's probably some way of the campaign being funded by Adelson in the way that has been traditional in the past. The real question, I think, is whether he will get the same vocal support from the newspaper Yisrael Hayom that he's been, that he's managed to enjoy up until now. Obviously, the Yisrael Hayom newspaper is part of some of the controversy, some of the court cases that Netanyahu is facing, because other newspaper owners are claiming that Adelson has enjoyed some advantage from a governmental point of view, from a regulatory point of view, from the Netanyahu government as a result of the support in the public arena that Yisrael Hayom has given to Netanyahu. It remains to be seen whether Yisrael Hayom will continue on its current path or whether there might be some changes to the editorial position that the newspaper has taken during the lifetime of Sheldon Adelson. But certainly as an individual, as a philanthropist, as a person who's used his approximately $35 billion of personal wealth to make a difference to things, I think Adelson will be missed. There were people who will not be upset by his demise. He's been very, very controversial. He's really been one of those people who sticks his neck out, not prepared to sit on the sidelines and watch things as they go by, and certainly used his financial clout to try to make a difference to further the causes that he feels very strongly about. So a great Israel supporter, certainly highly controversial, and I think quite a colorful character as well.
Absolutely. Tell us about a former South African member of Knesset who was allowed to take up her seat, but only for 4 days.
Yeah, so this is one of these strange stories. First of all, it covers a lady who is a former South African. She's lived in Israel already for a number of years, a member of Knesset by the name of Ruth Wasserman Landi. She is the first former South African to sit in the Knesset since the very, very, very first Knesset. Okay, so that is really a long time that's gone by since since a former South African had the opportunity to sit in the Knesset. And the situation under which she sat in the Knesset was very, very strange because she took up a seat which was vacated by a former minister. And the way that things work in Israel is that there is the so-called Norwegian law, which says that the moment a member of Knesset is appointed to the government in a ministerial position, they effectively vacate their seat in the Knesset to allow the next person on their list to come in and take up the seat. So by doing this, they allow more involvement from people on the various lists, and it can happen at any time during the lifetime of the Knesset. It doesn't necessarily have to happen right away after the election. Very frequently, people are appointed to ministerial positions during the middle of the period of the Knesset, and they have traditionally, under the so-called Norwegian law, have vacated their seats and have allowed the next person on the list to take the to take up their seat. And that's exactly what happened with Ruth when the former Science and Technology Minister, Ishar Shai, took up his position as the minister. He vacated his seat. Ruth was the next person on the list, and she took up her seat. The problem was that Ishar Shai then resigned his position as the minister because of the fact that he moved parties. And we discussed yesterday that there's so many people moving between political parties at the moment ahead of the next election. He decided to move party. As a result of that move, he vacated his position as minister and then decided to retake up his seat in the Knesset. So she was only in the Knesset for 4 days, before which she was then forced out, unfortunately, for her and, of course, for all people who support former South Africans becoming very involved in Israeli politics. But it was not before she had the opportunity to make her maiden address to the Knesset. She discussed her Zionism and her teenage years growing up in South Africa. She was not only the first South African or former African to sit in the Knesset since Shmuel Katz in the first Knesset, but she's also the first former South African, or the first person in general, who has lived in Cape Town to take up a seat in the Knesset since the famous Abba Eben sat in the Knesset, who also lived in Cape Town for a while. So a fascinating story and some history, but unfortunately didn't come to much in the end for her.
Absolutely. And Israeli judoka Sagi Mukhi has won a bronze medal at a tournament in Qatar. So are Israeli sportsmen and women now free to compete in the UAE? Was this part of the deal?
Well, Israeli sports and women, to be fair, have sportsmen and women have been competing in the UAE sort of under the radar a little already for some time. We've spoken about stories where Israeli sports and men and women have been competing without a flag. In fact, there was a situation where an Israeli won an event and wasn't allowed to play Hatikva on the podium. That was a single isolated event that then led to sportsmen and women being allowed to compete under the Israeli flag. And now it's kind of just part of the overall scene. Nothing really to talk about. That's just the way it is. Israeli men and women are certainly competing quite a lot in tournaments within the UAE in various sports. Of course, we tend to focus a lot on judo because of the amazing success that Israelis have had in the judo field. And of course, as we lead up to what we think will be the Olympic Games later this year, we hope it will be. So there is quite a lot of focus on how people are doing in the warm-up tournaments ahead of the Olympic Games. Of course, Sagi Mukhi, famous for having won medals in the past, and he's certainly been very successful. He's a name that we already know. This time winning the bronze medal by defeating the South Korean judoka Lee Seung-soo. And that was a tournament that took place yesterday, the Doha Masters. So great a result for Israel, for Sagi. And we certainly hope that that means that as we lead up to the Olympic Games, that he will be in good shape and good nick to take some sort of a position within the Olympic Games. There were other medals that were also won by Israeli athletes in this competition. A silver medal was won by an Israeli athlete. And also there were medals that were won at last year's competition, the same competition last year. So certainly this is not becoming this is not a one-off thing now. This has become a regular thing. The silver medal this time won by Baruch Shmailov. And so all good news on the judo front for Israelis.
absolutely awesome. Time is just after 8, unfortunately. Anthony Reich, this is Where We Love and Leave You. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place, for the Israel Report. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.